Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to read our devotional message, which is entitled, Unique Purposes. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Exodus 31 and 3. And it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. The writer says, have you experienced the joy, fulfillment, and inspiration of doing what the Lord created you to do? Often, when you discover the purpose for which God formed you, you know it because it fits you in a manner nothing else can. There is a freedom and pleasure in your work because of how the Holy Spirit flows through you to accomplish it. This was certainly the case for Belzer, the man God enabled to build the Old Testament tabernacle. The Lord gave him the artistic ability to follow and carry out all of his instructions, including understanding how to work with the special wood, metals, fabrics, and precious stones of the sanctuary. God has created you with special gifting as well, and I pray you have had the joy of walking in what you were created to do. But if you have not yet discovered what it is, pay attention to what you do that feels like you're worshiping God, because that will tell you exactly what it is. Then trust the Holy Spirit to empower you, because he will fulfill his mission through you in ways that will fill your heart. I pray that you enjoyed this devotional message. Amen. Jesus, thank you for the unique purposes you have created me for. Lead me in expressing and glorifying you through my gifts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this morning. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come play.
Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And now we are going to say good morning to Father God by the Wiki Tones. Amen. Praise be to God. The Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. After this election, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
Just to see you. hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Amen. I want to be where you are. Got to be where you are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. Amen. The book of 1 Kings, and we're going to go to chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18. That's 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen? And it says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servants there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough. Lord, he said, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. People of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nishi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu. And those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elijah. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." Amen. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, works, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. And may you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Mood changes are a problem for many people. Sometimes we are in a good mood, and at other times we are in a bad mood. Amen? The low mood is often called the blues or depression. A psychologist in Tucson, Arizona, told me that 80% of the patients he counsels are in a mild or severe case of depression. In 2020, a record number of people in the United States were being treated with pharmaceuticals for depression. The suicide reached an all-time high. Without a doubt, depression affects a lot of people. Elijah suffered from an acute case of depression immediately after a religious experience. The prophet of Baal had increased in number because Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, permitted the worship of Baal when she moved to Israel. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. The contest was an interesting and exciting one. The challenge was the authentic God to consume the offering with fire. The prophets of Baal called to their God, but he could not answer, for he was a false god. It was nothing but a piece of stone. No life in him. Elijah called to the Lord, and he rained down fire, consuming the sacrifice. Elijah came out a winner, but his happiness was marred by Jezebel's threat on his life. His high spirits were short-lived. He immediately got alone and developed a low spirit, like so many of us. When we get depressed, we allow our spirit to get so low. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. You ever seen when so many of us get to that deep depression that we feel that life is not worth living anymore and we want to die? But that is not what God wants for us. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life." He was praying and asking God to take away his life because he couldn't take it anymore. "For I am not better than my fathers," he said in 1 Kings 19 and 4, where we just read. So in this mood, the Lord ministered to him. From this ministry, we may learn a cure for the blues. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. And it says, "He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" And my title for this message is A Cure for the Blues. Now this morning, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Number one, the Lord wants us to get into good physical condition. Think about Elijah's condition. The battle with the prophets of Baal had been a constant one. Elijah advocated firmly and continuously that Jehovah was the true and living God. And he alone was worthy of worship day upon day. The constant zeal, of Elijah's ministry had been to work for the Lord and to help prevent worship and service to the idol Baal. You know, back in those days, you know, they wanted a God that they could see. And so they built these statues and those who they were worshiping and not the true living God. So this task had consumed his time, energy, and thoughts. Being consumed constantly in the Lord's work had drained Elijah, leaving him mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. This condition caused him to turn inward in self-pity. His spirits were low. The Lord needed to minister to him, and he did. As Elijah lingered in self-pity, the Lord ministered to his physical condition. In 1 Kings 19:5-6 says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked up, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a crust of water, a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." The Lord recognized that Elijah's physical condition needed reviving and provided this as a form of therapy for Elijah's blues. Now, think about your condition. Sometimes, moods of depression come to people because of physical and mental exhaustion. Doctors recommend to depressed counselees that they consider strongly an exercise program as well as proper diet and eating habits. Human beings are Human beings are holistic, and physical conditions do affect our moods. Thus, we must need God's therapy for our physical condition. Amen? Praise God. Number two, the Lord wants to change our mental attitude. Observe Elijah's mood. The prophet developed the bad habit of looking on the dark side of life, like so many of us today. We never look at the good side. We look at the bad side. So, of course, when you're constantly looking at the bad side, then you are going to become so depressed. Elijah looked at the condition caused by Jezebel, and he could see no bright prospect. Some of the Israelites had diverted their affection and loyalty from Jehovah to the idol worship of Baal. Listen to the despondent mood of Elijah. In 1 Kings 19:10, where it says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the words, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And what did God do for Elijah's negative attitude? The Lord helped him to take his mind off the bad situation and turned his attention to the positive matters. The Lord boosted Elijah's image about himself. He complimented Elijah for being faithful in times past. He affirmed Elijah as a powerful leader. Furthermore, the Lord pointed to other faithful leaders. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. 1 Kings 19:18. With these resources, Elijah turned the people from paganism to the true God. Amen. Examine your attitude. So many times the cause of our depression, it's not just our physical exhaustion, but our negative attitude. We develop a habit of focusing on the negative instead of the positive. Think about your thoughts toward the people you meet and the circumstances you encounter. Focusing on a negative issue can rob your positive attitude. Because if you're always thinking about negative things, you're going to go into a deep depression. So always forget about the negative. Think far in advance toward the positive things that can happen in your life. And your attitude affects your moods. Study carefully the Lord's ministry to Elijah's attitude. When Elijah was given up and wanted to die, God ministered to him. He gave him bread, baked bread and water, to strengthen him for the journey that he had to take. And with a positive mental attitude, you may be able to overcome depression. Now, the Lord gives a meaningful task. Look what the Lord gave Elijah to do. The Lord had helped Elijah with his physical condition and with his mental attitude. Now he gave him something to do. What are you doing here, Elijah? God asked. Of course, Elijah had not been doing anything but sitting under a juniper tree, feeling sorry for himself. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshan, shall now anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. In 1 Kings 19:15-16, God gave Elijah some responsibilities. Because why? Elijah thought that he was the only one left, but he wasn't. So God ministered to him when he was in the cave, and God passed by and gave him food to eat, water to drink, to strengthen him for his journey back to Damascus. Now listen to the Lord's call for service. Living life without meaningful responsibilities does bring depression. Thus, depression often can be helped by getting involved in meaningful service for the Lord. Find out what service you can render for others. Amen. Think about that now. We all need something to do to occupy us, to keep us going, so that we don't have time to think about depression or anything else, because we are out here doing the work of the Lord, trying to win souls. So Jezebel sent Elijah a threatening message. Carnal hearts are hardened and enraged against God. By that which should convince and conquer them, great faith is not always alike strong. He might be serviceable to Israel at this time and had all reason to depend upon God's protection while doing God's work, yet he flees. His was not the deliberate desire of grace. As Paul to depart and be with Christ, God thus left Elijah to himself, to show that when he was bold and strong, it was in the Lord and the power of his might. But of himself, he was no better than his fathers. God knows what he designs for us, though we do not, what service, what trials, and he will take care that we are furnished with grace sufficient. The question God put, what dost thou hear, Elijah, is a reproof. It concerns us often to ask whether we are in our place or in the way of our duty. Am I where I should be? Whether God calls me, where my business lies, and where I may be useful. He complained of the people and their obstinacy in sin. I only am left. Despair of success hinders many a good enterprise. Did Elijah come hither to meet with God? He shall find that God will meet him. The wind and the earthquake and fire did not make him cover his face, but the still voice did. Gracious souls are more affected by the tender mercies of the Lord than by the terrors. The mild voice of him who speaks from the cross or the mercy seat is accompanied with peculiar powers and taking possession of the heart. God repeated the question, "What doest thou here?" Then he complained of his discouragement. And whither should God's prophets go with their complaints of that kind, but to their master? The Lord gave him an answer. He declares that the wicked house of Ahab shall be rooted out, that the people of Israel shall be punished for their sins. And he shows that Elijah was not left alone as he had supposed. Also, that a helper should at once be raised up for him. Thus all his complaints are answered and provided for. God's faithful ones are often his hidden ones. In Psalms 83:3, and the visible church is scarcely to be seen. The wheat is lost in the chaff, and the gold in dross, till the sifting, refining, separating day comes. The Lord knows them that are his. Though we do not, he sees in secret. When we come to heaven, we shall miss many whom we thought to have met there. We shall meet many whom we little thought to have met there. God's love often proves larger than man's charity, and far more extended. To God be the glory. And my conclusion is, hallelujah, Jesus. Are you depressed? Get in touch with your mood. If your feelings are low, try God's therapy. Check on your physical condition. On the advice of a physician, get an exercise program. Start and begin proper eating habits. Check on your mental attitude. And if you have been majoring on the negative, look for the positive. Then ask the Lord, "What would you have me to do?" Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. A cure for the blues. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and he is my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your walk with the Lord. Amen? Praise God. And my devotional message is coming from Jude 24 and 25 in the New King James Version, and where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And now at this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come with our poetry, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Well, good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing?
I'm blessed, thank you. I won't complain.
Fantastic.
Amen.
Becoming my book, The Profundity of God, a spiritual anthology in poetry. And this one is entitled, Nevertheless, Thank You, Lord. I want to ask you for a few things, Lord. I want to know this. I want to know that. I've been asking for these things for a very, very long time, yet I still don't have what I want. I need to ask you, dear Lord, for a few things that I need. I need life, breath, and strength. This, without my asking, you've given to me, and I thank you, Lord. I'm still looking for those things that I want. Nevertheless, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with the things that I need. I ask, you answer. You answer, I obey. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I can't make it without the things that I need. You've made a way for me. Now I see that it may not be exactly what I want. Nevertheless, it is exactly what I need. Thank you for my nevertheless. Thank you for all of that. I'm grateful, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Nevertheless.
Amen. That is short and beautiful.
Okay.
Oh, nevertheless. I mean, like, wow. Short. Right to the point, and beautiful.
God bless you. Thank you. To God be all the glory.
Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, we will carry on.
Hallelujah.
And do God's work no matter what. Yeah. Never.
Obey him.
Obey him. Continue to walk with him and don't give up. And we mustn't be like Elijah, thinking that we're the only ones left after everybody else have been killed, and now you're trying to kill me too? No, don't go to that place. He was only thinking about himself and not about what God did. You know, and
he thought he was by himself.
Yes, and we are the same way. We think about what, I know I can do this, and you leave God out of the equation. No, you cannot do it by yourself. We need him.
You have to put him first, actually.
That's right. We going to always need him, no matter what situation you're in. God is there, and he's right in that same situation with you. You just got to have faith and believe that he will bring us out of it.
That's right.
Nevertheless. So beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So at this time, I'm going to thank everyone for showing up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this morning. And I'm going to close us out of this part of our program as we're going to enter into the second part. And as usual, I will continue playing our inspirational music and reading our devotionals of walking in grace. And
amen.
Selection, then I will come with our daily bread for this morning. Praise God. Amen. Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And now it is time for our daily bread, which is entitled Self-Control in God's Strength. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Second Peter chapter 1. Okay, here we go. And it says, this letter, Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Growing in faith. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who calls us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promise. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. The moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. May the Lord add a blessing to the word, reading of his mighty word. Amen. So the text for this message is coming from 2 Peter 1 and 3, and it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Again, the title, Self-Control in God's Strength. The writer says, in 1972, a study as the marshmallow test was developed to gauge children's ability to delay gratification of their desires. The kids were gauge children's ability to delay gratification of their desires. The kids were each offered a single marshmallow to enjoy, but were told if they could refrain from eating it for 10 minutes. They would be given a second one. About a third of the children were able to hold out for the larger reward. Another third gobbled it up within 30 seconds. Oh, they couldn't wait. We might struggle to show self-control when offered something we desire, even if we know it would benefit us more in the future to wait. Yet Peter urged us to add to our faith many important virtues, including self-control in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 6. Having laid hold of faith in Jesus, Peter encourages his readers and us to continue to grow in goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, affection, and love. In increasing measure, as evidence of that faith, and verses 5 through 8. While these virtues don't earn us God's favor, nor secure our place in heaven, they demonstrate to ourselves as well as to all those with whom we interact our need to exercise self-control as God provides the wisdom and strength to do so. And best of all, he's given us everything we need to live a godly life, one that pleases him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. Amen. Question. In whom do you observe Christ-like qualities? And how might you cultivate them in your own life as God provides what you need? So think about those questions. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, please grow in me the qualities that reflect Jesus so I might reveal your goodness to the world around me. Amen. And that is our daily bread for this morning, self-control in God's strength. And we definitely need God's strength to keep ourselves under control because,
amen,
a lot of things are very, very tempting today and we fall into those traps. So pray and ask God to continue strengthening you to do his will and not the will of the world. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Evangelist, I have to leave. I have something to prepare for tonight, and I need to call someone. If I get a chance, I'll come back. And if not,
all right.
I love
no
you.
Problem.
Hugs and kisses. Shalom.
Enjoy your day.
And I won't be with you tomorrow either because I'm preparing for our banquet, which is going to be at 4 o'clock.
Oh, well, you'll be with us in spirit.
Well, let me finish. 70 years in celebration of my home church, Upper Room Baptist Church. So, yes, give us, pray for us. Keep us in your prayers, all right?
We will. To God be the glory. And congratulations.
Love you. Shalom.
70 years.
Okay. Had a powerful sermon last night. I had the service, I should say. I went by there, and it was just, you got to, we'll see. We'll talk.
Yes. Oh, love. I wish you would have recorded it.
Well, I did get parts of it. It's not enough to really say you could get the gist of it. But
yes.
I can let you hear it. The drummer was so phenomenal, but by the time I thought to record, he was almost finished. So I got a little bit of that. I got a little bit after he had finished, the bishop really, from Atlanta, Georgia, he came up with his family. And so I got about a minute of him speaking at the end. But, ooh, it was great. It was so, I'm so glad I went.
That's wonderful.
I'm tarrying. I love you again. Hugs and kisses. Talk with you soon, God willing, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Have a blessed day. You too. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. All to the glory of God. Everything belongs to Him in the fullness of His blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know His mercy, humbling ourselves to His mountain. We pray His holy. As far as the eye can see, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and He's coming in the clouds. Restore our souls brand new. Oh,
all to the glory of God. In Psalms 121 and verse 4 in the NRSV Bible says, "He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Funny the way you can mute yourself and others on computers and phones. The conversation with our church study group on Zoom is wide-ranging, as always. But then there comes a moment where everybody is talking at once, but only one ends up being heard. That person unwittingly holds us hostage by rambling on without knowing that they are talking, mutes us all. It makes me think about my own capacity to mute or unmute myself or the world. Those anxious thoughts, those fearful meaningers, that inner list making, adding or subtracting to stuff that might never get done. Yes, I turn to prayer and quiet meditation as a way to hover over the mute button on my mind. But sometimes, just at that very moment, the noise gets louder. That's when it occurs to me how grateful I am that God doesn't have a mute button. He hears it all. On the flip side, God wants to hear what I'm thinking and feeling. So maybe I'm not supposed to mute myself in prayer. Amen. Once someone asked me if it was okay to tell God how angry he felt sometimes, even at God, I replied, "Don't you think God knows already? In fact, when I keep myself unmuted, it gives us both a chance to work on the problem." I hear the anger, frustration, resentment, irritation, and God hears it too. Then I attempt to give up. You take it? God, you can help. And forgive me for my inability to love when that's all I really want to do. We often say that God is immutable. Can I add that in his hearing, we are unmuteable? Thank you, God, for listening, for hearing what I can't hear, for discerning what I need better than I can. Amen, amen, and amen. So again, at this time, I will play another selection and continue to read our Walking in Grace devotional. Amen. Praise God.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome.
can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Celebrate the awesome God. Oh.
6-7 in the NIV says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. The writer says, "What was wrong with my dashboard? A trip to an out-of-state conference shouldn't have been easy after all the miles I had driven in my life. I had planned to arrive early to participate in all activities, but on the way, my battery light started flashing. A new battery should solve the problem, I thought, but the battery checked out fine at the store. So I reassumed my trip. Minutes later, my dashboard went haywire again. God, help, I prayed. When the car died again, miraculously, the car made it off the highway and into a gas station. I checked the time, realizing I had missed the opening session. A nice man jump-started my car, but it died again. I prayed for help, and another sympathetic person dropped me off at a store where I could buy a battery. When I tried to purchase it, however, I discovered I had left my wallet in my car. Another delay. Now I needed two more rides, one for my wallet, another for the battery. Things felt completely out of control. I called the taxi service, which quickly sent a polite driver. For 2 hours, he drove me back and forth and even installed the battery for me. Finally, resuming my journey, I realized the futility of all the plans I had made. A Bible verse came to mind that said not to be anxious about anything. God was near. He was in control. I wasn't. As the sun began to set, I prayed for God's continual protection and peace, knowing that no matter what time I arrive at the conference, it would be a blessed weekend. Thank you, God, for being in control when I'm not. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations. But there one thing I come to know, without a doubt, is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair.
Fall down on your knees, they help to save your peace. Cast your cares on him, he'll supply all your needs.
Friends and family, they can walk away.
But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day.
He loves and cares for you, and he will see you through.
You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, he will say.
And he'll show the way.
Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe.
I'm a witness that through faith and prayer, you shall receive.
Through your faith, your eyes will be open.
Through the hope he is in the Father,
he saved us for his own purpose.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
In Psalms 133, verse 1 in the NIV says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. The writer says, when Charlie Miller, a pillar in my childhood church, died, I telephoned his daughter Karen to see what I could do. Oh, Roberta, she said, I was just thinking if the three of you girls could sing at Dad's funeral. I wouldn't ever ask for anything else in my life. The three of you girls include my two younger sisters, twins, Rachel and Rebecca, and me. Karen's idea sounded lovely in theory, but the last time I seen Rachel, she said something that had just rubbed me the wrong way. Still, Charlie Miller was special to us. So we woke up a few of his trio favorites like I Will Serve Thee, and The Longer I Serve Him, we practiced and practiced. Rachel sang the lead. Rebecca added her middle part, and I put in my signature low alto. Although our appearances showed signs of passive of 40 years, we did not sound too bad. Many in the mortuary chapel that afternoon were from our old Seventh Avenue Baptist Church, and the memory of those dear days filled me with joy. Then something came over me as our sister's sound joined in one voice with the words, ruined lives are why we die on Calvary. I noticed an arm wrapping around Rachel. It was mine. Almighty, amazingly, my resentment lifted, and I was filled with sweet forgiveness. After the service, a knot of long ago friends gathered. You all blend like flour in a cake, one of them exclaimed. You still have that close sister harmony, another said. There's nothing like it. She was so right. Is there anything better than the harmony of relinquished resentment? You came to restore harmony among your children, Father. Thank you. Amen. Amen and amen.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. Are the living word saying now? Come on.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bread
sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a
together. This is what we'd like to call you. Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10465.